True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Rob is off today. He is celebrating his first wedding anniversary this weekend. So congratulations to him and his wife. He is off today. He will be back on Monday. I am here. Nathan is here. We are taking you up until 6 o'clock. We've been kind of bouncing around. A little Royals here, a little Chiefs here, a little Game 7 of the NBA Finals coming up between the Pacers and the Thunder. You can catch that Sunday at 7 o'clock on ABC. So certainly a lot of things to get into. Nathan had not heard the AI dating story that we played earlier in the week. We played it for him. He said that after the show, he would ask his wife if she was interested in expanding their relationship and their marriage. We'll see how that goes. We'll definitely check in to see if that how that's working for you. I want you to be happy. I want her to be happy too, but I don't know her. I want you to be happy. And if you got to get your own personalized AI girlfriend, if you feel like that'll make you happy, Nathan, that's really what I want for you. And I could tell when we played that audio earlier, I could see the wheels spinning just a little bit. And you seem like you were possibly intrigued by the idea of having a second companion. You already got one forever partner. Why not get you another forever partner, ChatGPT?
Two things stuck out to me. The first is how emotional it made this man. You know, I look at him and I think I want what he's feeling. Two is his lady was by his side through thick and thin. And I know my fiance would do the same for
That's
me.
That's real love. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want love? Don't you want somebody who's going to be there for you unconditionally? Because that's what I saw. I saw and heard unconditional, unwavering love is what I heard. So I'm happy. I'm happy for them. I'm happy for you, Nathan. I'm happy for Rob. I'm happy for anybody that feels like they find their partner. One real partner, an AI partner, whoever it is. If you found that person for you, good, man. Go be happy. Life is too short. Life is too short. Go be happy. All right, there's a lot to get into. Let's start with the Royals. I have been hearing this audio clip in my head for the last couple of days, and I believe that this is the message that the Royals were sending. The Royals had that players-only meeting. It's one thing to have that accountability come from the guys inside your locker room that are on the team, but I think the message and the public statement from the Royals was simple. We are not panicking. We are preaching positivity and patience. Here's JJ Piccolo.
But really, it's just staying positive right now, understanding the history between the coaches and the players, and the reminders. Nobody knows our current hitters as well as the guys in our batting cages every day. I mean, they live with them every day. They understand their swings. They understand what makes them tick. And now it's just a matter of trying to tweak some things here and there, but also stay positive. You know, you've got to stay positive through these tougher times. And I know we have the right guys that will stay positive, and they put the work in every day. You know, I can tell you this, today in Texas is not going to look any different than last year in Texas, as far as the energy and the positivity and our processes. But now the challenge is a little bit greater because the confidence, you know, is wavering a little bit, but all it takes is one little good run offensively to get that confidence back and you just go play baseball.
So that was J.J. Piccolo earlier this week that was on the Cody and Gold show. And you know what we saw this week? We saw the Royals. They had great patience. They had great positivity. And they also had great power. Sometimes sports are simple. I know that you guys hate in basketball when they shoot a lot of threes. But you know what usually helps you win a lot of games? If you make a lot of threes. It's real easy. If you make more threes than your opponent, you will probably win that basketball game. I know that Kauffman Stadium has led us all to believe that home runs are bad. You know, you can't hit home runs. You got to try to hit guys with runners in scoring position and go base to base and keep the line moving. Hey, sometimes you know what's really good? One guy walks, the next guy hits a home run. Wait, look, we just scored two runs. That's what the Royals did this week. Now, they were in a very different ballpark, but the Royals' pitching was the same that it's been. They held the Rangers to under three runs in all three of their games. And then they scored more than three runs in all of their three games. The Royals scored 16 runs in the three games against the Rangers. They scored 11 runs last week in their homestand over the six-game stretch. This series was very, very simple. When the Royals needed production offensively, they just hit a home run. Salvi hit a couple of home runs. Bobby Witt Jr. hit a home run. Jack Caglione hit two home runs yesterday. That was the difference in this series. It was the Royals' power. Now, you are hoping that this kind of momentum can carry. We all laughed at the meeting that they had. But you know what? The Royals are 3-1 since that player meeting. And offensively, they just had their best series. I think you'd be really hard-pressed to find a series in which they were better offensively than they were against the Texas Rangers. So it is one series. I'm not here to overreact. I'm not here to tell you that everything is all fine and dandy. I'm also not here to tell you that things are raining at Kauffman Stadium. I don't know. But this is a very pivotal stretch for the Royals as we are going to look up and we are 3 weeks away from the All-Star break. We are less than a week away from the midway point of the baseball season. How do you stack up against the other teams in the American League? How do you stack up against the other teams that are fighting for the same two or three wild card spots that you are? The pitching has remained constant for the first 75, 76 games of the season. It's been the offense that has been up and down. And if you were telling me that they can get a locked-in Salvi, a locked-in Vinny, Jack Caglione adding his power, Bobby Witt Jr., if you can lock that in from now until the All-Star break, you can look up and the Royals are 4 or 5 games over 500 and they're a game or two up in the wild card race. It really just takes their offense getting going. And I think there were a lot of positive signs in Texas that maybe, just maybe, the Royals can get things going on offense.
You mentioned something towards the start of that segment. And that was the team could hit a 2-run home run after someone gets on base. I didn't know that you were allowed to do that in baseball. I've watched this Royals team for half a season. Didn't know you could score 2 or 3 runs in one swing of the bat. But it's pretty cool when they did that. I think it's pretty likely that we look back later in the season and say, hey, when Cags came up, when they had that player-only meeting, that's when things turned around. And maybe it's not because those things actually turned the offense around, but it's because the offense simply had to. Like, if this team was to avoid bottoming out and losing 95 games, it was time to start hitting. It was foolish to think that the starting rotation was going to do what they were doing for the first month and a half of the season all year. And quite frankly, the rotation has been below league average this far in June. And that coincided with the losing streak at home. You're not pitching well, the other team's scoring runs, and then you are not scoring as many runs, you lose baseball games. It was very refreshing to see them hit timely with runners in scoring position this week. It's got me pretty fired up for this weekend in San Diego. I don't know. There's still a lot of big personalities on that team. They were in a little skirmish yesterday. I think it should be a fun weekend out there in San Diego.
Yeah, sometimes you're going to score runs by, you know, stringing two, three, four hits together and kind of putting together a big inning. Sometimes it takes a walk, a single, home run. Wait, look up. You had a three-run home run.
Didn't know you could do that.
They hit their first three-run home run since opening day this week in this series. So offensively, they definitely turned the corner. You're now going to Petco Park. I believe that's what they're still calling the Padres Stadium out there. We'll see if the offense carries. It's a little more difficult place to hit. We'll see if it carries for the Royals, and we'll see if the Royals win this series against the Padres, they will come back home 500. And after an 0-6 week, to go 5-1 the next week, you didn't completely undo all of the losing from a week ago. You made up a large portion of it, and can you keep that positive momentum going, and can you keep things flowing? So we'll see what happens with the Kansas City Royals. Earlier today on the show, we had Nate Taylor join us on the show, and we asked him, if you had a crystal ball, who do you think starts week one at left tackle? Because there is a report that Josh Simmons is ahead of schedule, and he is going to be a full go at the start of training camp. We asked Nate Taylor who he thinks starts for the Chiefs week one. Here's what he said.
Oh, it's got to be Jalen Moore. Let's be serious, kids. Let's all take a deep breath. And I know that the Chiefs want us to believe Carrington. The Chiefs are trying very hard. Andy Reid specifically is saying, no, like Joshua Simmons, give him all the credit. He's been ahead of schedule every step of the way from the moment they selected him in the first round on opening draft night. But let's be clear. The guy's coming off a non-contact knee injury. The more time you give Joshua Simmons the ability to get up to NFL speeds, to get his knee to be strengthened, to not put the burden of like, hey, protect the greatest quarterback we've ever seen on opening night, because didn't we just kind of see that last year with Kingsley Suamataia? Well, hey, that's why you went out and you paid Jalen Moore on a somewhat of a prove-it deal. Hey, start NFL starting money. Hey, it's a two-year deal. We can get out of it in year two if we don't like how it goes in year one. And you don't have to push Joshua Simmons to be ready for opening night the way that they tried to push Kingsley Suamataia, who, by the way, was fully healthy entering the NFL. So give a ton of credit and respect to Joshua Simmons. We know how talented he could be when fully healthy based on his tape in college. But I think the logical, more educated guess is, hey, man, Jalen Moore's played in the NFL. You should probably trust him on opening night.
So the Chiefs are, I don't know if this is a bad situation or a good situation. It's probably more good than bad, but it's a worthy talking point nonetheless. If they have three healthy available tackles, only two of them can play. They are very heavily financially invested in two of them, and they have spent great draft capital on the other one. You have given Jalen Moore $21 million guaranteed. It's a two-year, $30 million deal. It's essentially a one-year contract with a, hey, if this first year goes really well, we will just extend you on the back end of it. Because next year, there will essentially almost be no guaranteed money attached to it. And we kind of know enough about these contracts to know there's not really a lot of guaranteed money attached to it. It's usually time to get yourself a new contract. So it's kind of a one-year deal that masquerades as a, hey, we want the negotiating rights on the back end of it. And if you outperform this deal, we'll obviously make it right for you. Or if you don't perform, we can easily get out of this contract and move on and do something very different. The Juwan Taylor contract, it is one of the bigger anchors that they have this year financially. They are not cutting Juwan Taylor. They are not moving on from Juwan Taylor. And then you have the young guy in Joshua Simmons, who, at least there was a time, we thought he was going to be more of a red shirt player for this upcoming season. That's not how the Chiefs are really talking about him. Now, it could be early. It's June. It's everybody's feeling good about those things, and maybe that's not how it plays itself out in a month when everybody returns to training camp. That certainly could be the case. But the Chiefs have made a, I don't want to say a significant investment in Jalen Moore, but certainly a solid financial investment, and you can't do anything about right tackle for this upcoming season. I still maintain, and I agree with Nate Taylor, the best thing for the Chiefs this year is to play Jalen Moore at left tackle, have it work at left tackle, move him to right tackle at the end of this season. After you release Juwan Taylor and get back $20 million in cap space, you insert Josh Simmons. So in 2026, you've got Jalen Moore on one side after a productive season in which he has shown you he can stay healthy and be an every down offensive tackle in this league. Joshua Simmons is ready to step in and is fully healthy and ready to go. You get the extra cap space from Juwan Taylor, and now you go spend that on George Karlaftis, or you go spend that on another wide receiver, or whatever you want to spend the $20 million on. I still maintain that's the best way of handling this in the short term, as they're trying to figure out how to navigate having three offensive tackles with only two spots.
I think that's the best course of action, too, and I've changed my tune on that throughout the show today. Earlier, you asked who I thought would start week one. I said Josh Simmons, and I think after listening to you and Nate, I've been swayed a little bit. I think what Jalen Moore can give the team this year at his peak, if it works out at left tackle, is higher than what Josh Simmons could. I think even if he's healthy, as a rookie, there will be the bumps and bruises, and we saw how that went last year with Kingsley at the left tackle spot. What I'm not interested in, though, I think it's a little bit of a sunk cost fallacy, is to say it's better for the Chiefs because they gave Jalen Moore the contract. I think that money's gone. It's spent. I want who's best at left tackle to play that position this year. But I do think you're right. That's probably Jalen Moore.
Yeah, I just think at least when we say the money is spent, and I agree with you, right? You're like, you're not getting the guaranteed money back then. But to give the player $21 million and then essentially just not give him a chance on the field is what I think kind of makes it a little bit like a different conversation, where it's like, well, this sunk cost, like, you paid him this $21. Like, I didn't pay you this $21 million guaranteed to be a break in case of emergency. It was to find out if you can be an every down starter in the league, that if you end up, let's say that that's what they end up doing, right? Let's say the Chiefs do what, I think if you polled fans, what they kind of want them to do. Josh Simmons plays left tackle for you. Juwan Taylor plays right tackle. You move on from Juwan, and then you move Jalen Moore over to the other side. You essentially have the same conversation next year about Jalen Moore, where you've now given him all this money, and now we still have absolutely no clue if he is an every down starter in the National Football League. At some point, Jalen Moore's just got to be on the field. At some point, hey, you've done really well in these four or five starts. What does that look like for 15, 16, 17 starts or more? And are you capable? Let's get that question answered. And then next year, either you want to move on from Jalen Moore, or he's a player that you like, you extend him, you move him over to the right side, and now you have both your right and left tackle. You've got that answered for the next three or four seasons.
That's the most persuasive argument I've heard, which is, what do we need to do at right tackle next offseason when Juwan Taylor's gone? Do we have the answer in Jalen Moore for at least 1 year? Or are we locking up Jalen Moore for more? No pun intended. Or do we need to go out and draft somebody or sign somebody? I think that's the most I bought into this Jalen Moore thing, is we need to find out what we have in him to know how to approach next offseason at the right tackle spot.
All right, coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back to the Kansas City Chiefs, but I do want to give you guys some thoughts on Game 7 of the NBA Finals. We are a couple days away, Sunday at 7 o'clock. We will have Game 7 of the NBA Finals. All right, Nate, this is what I'd like for you to do. Let's do the Baker read, and then we'll talk about Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for The Hits. Number one.
Yeah, Carrington, The Hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, as you mentioned, there's a big one on Sunday night in the NBA as the Pacers will head to OKC. It's $1,000 to get in the door for Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
My heart is telling me that the Pacers are going to win. You can fade the music now. This is why my heart is telling me this. At every single turn, we have told the Pacers, you have come as far as you were going to go. At every single turn, we've told them that this postseason. And all they've done is prove a majority of people wrong. A lot of people thought that they were going to lose in five to OKC. They got past that. Everything was in line for them to lose last night. Everything was. Tyrese Halliburton was dealing with an injury. He didn't make a shot in game five. They're coming back home. Everything screamed Thunder in six. They went out there and pummeled. I mean, absolutely pummeled OKC in game six and put together, I think, one of the more exciting plays, certainly in recent NBA history. That steal where Tyrese Halliburton gets the ball, they get the fast break. He does the Magic Johnson pass into the Pascal Siakam dunk that gets that crowd going. It is one of the best plays in recent memory in the NBA. I know history tells you that the Thunder are going to win. There have been 19 game sevens in the NBA final, and the home team is 15-4. And usually, I mean, it takes an historic effort, or you got to have one of the three best players in the league to win a game like this. The Cavs won this game back in, 2016. Early Boston Celtics. I mean, we're talking one of the greatest organizations, if not the greatest organization in the history of the league. Like, you normally need one of those guys to do it. But just, there's just been something weird about this Pacers team that is just hard for me to shake. Looking at the line that they have together, it's what, Thunder minus 8.5, Thunder minus 9? If you look at recent game sevens, the one thing we do know is this game is going to be close. This game is also going to be low scoring. You probably didn't know this, but out of the last five game sevens that there have been in the NBA Finals, neither team has scored more than 100 points in those games. So this isn't your normal NBA game that you think is going to be played 110 to 101. No, this game is usually won like 95-89, which makes sense. This is the most high-pressure, high-stressful basketball situation that you can possibly ever play in. This is legacy-defining. If you are OKC and you won 64 games this year and you have a 3-2 lead against this team and you lose in their building and you get blown out and then you lose a game seven back at the crib, it is a monumental collapse. If you are the Pacers, going on the road and trying to steal this game in what might be the best home court advantage, the best home atmosphere of the entire NBA, obviously a high pressure packed situation. Usually what defines these kind of games, it is the role players, it's the secondary players. It's a game in which TJ McConnell ends up scoring 17 points and none of us can explain it. It's where Ben Mathurin shoots 8 of 12 from the floor and hits two big shots down the stretch. I know that the Thunder should win this game. I know that the Thunder will probably win this game. I acknowledge they are the better team out of these two. But this series has been way closer than anybody can imagine. The Thunder have only outscored the Pacers in this series by 5 points. So it's been a coin flip for the most part. And I don't know. I can't explain it. It just feels like one of those games. It feels like one of those situations, one of those years, and just which we're going to look up. And the 4 seed in the Eastern Conference, they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, who were the best team in the NBA regular season. They beat everybody's darling in the New York Knicks. And then they went on the road as tremendous underdogs in this series. And they knocked out who people believe was the best team in the NBA. It just feels like it's one of those kind of years for the Pacers.
It's got, and I hate to make the obvious low-hanging local comparison, but it's got the 2014 Royals vibes, right? Like, doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Will they flame out in Game 7? The Royals came really close. They didn't get it done. Or is it going to be a trivia answer in 20 years? Is who won the NBA Finals this year? Man, I did not see myself rooting for the Indiana Pacers at the start of the playoffs this year. They're scrappy. They're magical. I really enjoy watching them, and I think I'm going to be pulling for them on Sunday night. I'm probably picking OKC when it comes down to it. It's probably where I'm putting my money, but I think I'm all in on the Pacers this Sunday.
I've already placed my bet on the Indiana Pacers. I placed my bet. I have the Pacers plus 9.5 in the game. I also have the under 214 for a game like this. It's just way too high of a number, in my opinion. I think 214 is just off. That's actually the bet I feel most confident in as we head into the NBA Finals. All right, if you missed it, coming up on the other side, we had Nate Taylor join us on the show. We'll go through some of the top stories of the offseason for the Chiefs. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.